All right, Coach, you know, we give Ira a lot of crap here on the podcast. He says he knows you as your buddy. He loves you. You know, what can you say about Ira that you spent years around him as a journalist, as a guy?
Well, let me tell you this. He's got the greatest voice I ever heard. I can't imitate him well, but he's a friend of mine. And he's a guy I consider great at what he does because he does the work. And he watches practice. He takes pride in getting the story correct. And he's just been loyal. I've always considered him a friend, and I consider him an expert when it comes to pro football.
I'm the demographic for X-Lax.
The Ira Kaufman Podcast, the podcast that stars the greatest sage of Tampa Bay sports, presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. We're so proud to have Ed Morse and the great quality at Ed Morse, more than 70-plus years of Ed Morse dealerships throughout Florida, great family-owned business. I buy my vehicles there at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. You're going to get that tremendous service. They are Hillsborough County's Cadillac dealerships at EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com and at EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. All the new offers are up and ready for September. The great savings continue at EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. I'm looking now at a made-to-move 2017 clearance event, including the 2017 XT5 Standard, ultra-low mileage lease for well-qualified lessees, $339 per month. Fantastic offer. All the details on the website and by contacting Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Looks like the weather might hold out, Ira, for Saturday. Everybody can get out and test drive, get some service done. Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher. Also, you want to head to EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. Start your search there. You know, we usually give details on the offers, but they just came out. And so it's really a great time to really go look at all the offers and get that started at EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. My favorite right now, 2017 CTS or 2017 ATS sedan. I'm looking at the ATS sedan, $299 a month with zero down. Fantastic time to buy a vehicle, as most of you know. EdMorseCadillacTampa.com, EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. All right, happy Tuesday, Hurricane Irma edition of the Ira Kaufman Podcast. A delayed taping of the Ira Kaufman Podcast. You're first consuming this if you're a diehard on Tuesday late afternoon. Maybe it's Tuesday evening, whatever it is. Ira is here. He has no power at home. He is suffering. He is sweating. He is the sage of Tampa Bay sports. And, of course, he toughed it out. Ira here with us today at our changed location even because our regular location was closed for the storm. So I'm Steve Isbitz with Lee DeCamper. Ira, first, how are you?
I'm all right. You know, I don't turn tail easy, Mr. Isbitz. I'm Brooklyn strong, and we don't run up I-75 at the first slightest, you know, little raindrop and waft of wind like some other people we know, Mr. DeCamper. We stand strong. So, look, we got through it. You know, my wife and I and the little Dante, the little Boston Terrier. You know, a little Riesling goes a long way, gentlemen, to get you through tonight. Had a pre-made beet salad. Rolled that one out of the cooler. And I had no power. Power went out, first quarter at a Giants-Cowboys game. I'm looking at my fantasy team and saying, what's going on here? Next thing I know,
click.
I got click, yeah. No power. You know, I can't Twitter except on my phone. And made it through. Some branches down. Steve, nothing we can't handle. The pool enclosure withstood. Lee, you'll be talking about yours in a minute. The Buck players scattered, but the Kaufmans stand strong with the people of Tampa Bay. That's what stick carriers do. I hope that all the good people at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, are doing fine personally with their home situations, their families. I hope the facilities are unaffected, and I'm sure that they took good care that they would not be, and they're open for business. Steve, open for business. Go down, check them out. They're going to take good care of you, and they look at each customer as a cherished member of the Ed Morse family. So I'm hoping people go down and take advantage of the great offers.
Well, tell me about Dante. How'd Dante make it through? Was Dante freaked out?
Not after three Benadryls. Three Benadryls knocked him out. He's flat on his back. His paws are up in the air. And, he didn't even have to go out, tinkle, and do his business. Now his eyes are going, guys. He's 14.
Oh.
So he's got cataracts, clouds on, cloudiness on both. And so the morning after, all the tree branches are down. We got a lot of trees. And first thing I do is let him out, you know, first crack of dawn. And I tell you what, I don't want people to think this the wrong way. I'm not a sadist. I'm not. But to watch him go over those branches and getting poked by all directions, aww, he can't see where he's going. And he's got to find a spot to pee and do his business. I derived a little entertainment out of that. But he's fine. He is absolutely fine. What am I going to do? Walk him around on a leash? Man, you know, he's got to go where he's got to go. But the branches are up, and he's doing fine.
Oh, just to make sure the Humane Society doesn't come after you. You're a loving, loving caretaker of Dante. You and your wife.
Absolutely.
Spoiling the death.
He means the world to us. He's 14. So, you know, in human age, he's like Isbits. You know, 97 going on 98.
You know, I was going to just say that. Oh, you guys are the same human years. You got me. You got me. You're reading my mind. You drugged your dog is what you're saying.
You did not fare as well.
I can't complain. You know, I was expecting the worst. I was expecting the roof to go. Thought it was going to go. The only time I lost my DirecTV signal for any period of time was like 2 or 3 minutes. And try to clean this up. Clean it up more than what you talked about with Dante. Yeah, now it's time to take care of business. I never lost power, but I did lose a DirecTV signal for like 2 or 3 minutes. I'll go take care of business. And so I went to the bathroom where I was going to hide out if things got really, really gnarly. And you could hear the wind. All of a sudden, hear boom, 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 something on the roof. I'm sure that was a branch because I got a bunch of big trees around me. And then all of a sudden, I heard it was as if you took a giant claw hammer and pull a nail out of a 2x4. And I thought, there goes the
roof. You never want to hear that, Steve.
Goes the roof. But as far as I could tell, the only thing I had damaged was my pool cage got beat up pretty good. I'll have to have that replaced. And considering the big picture, I'm happy as can be.
So, Ira, now what we did learn on this podcast, because the regular listeners, they're always learning a little bit more, taking every nugget about your life. We've already heard about Dante, so we know about him. But now we know you have a pool. So when's the Ira Kaufman podcast listener pool party? That's got to be coming up, I would think, in this spring. A spring break party, Ira?
Take it easy, but it's a little bigger than a bathtub. It's a little bigger than a bathtub.
All right.
I don't have the cascading waterfall. I got no spa. I'm lucky I got a pool cage.
Is it bigger than Josh Freeman's pool?
Yes.
Yeah, so is mine. I mean, I saw Josh Freeman's pool. Like, what is this? It's about the size of a picnic table.
We're very fortunate. You know, for our friends like Javi out there in Panama, he's no stranger to natural disasters. This was a big one. I hope we never see anything like this again.
Was this you've been here longer than Steve and I. What'd you come down here, 84?
85.
85. Is this the biggest one you've seen?
Biggest natural disaster I saw was the 85 and 86 bucks. They went 2-14 each under Lehman Bennett, at which point Culver House went to the podium and said, Lehman, we're going to have to let you go. And until he said that, Bennett was sure he was staying.
Really?
Was one of the most bizarre press conferences in Buck history. And then he tells Bennett to get up there and say a few words.
After he got
fired him. So, you know, Culver House did some weird things, but that one might be number one.
That's fantastic. It was back-to-back 2-14s, wasn't it?
Back-to-back as soon as I got to town. And then the next year, I'm sitting in the trailer, and they announce their new head coach, Raymond Perkins, who I covered my first year of covering the NFL. Yes, Steve, it was 1979, not 1959. And first year head coach, Ray Perkins, mm-hmm, rookie quarterback, Philip Sims, out of Moorhead State. Perkins walks in the trailer. This is old Buck Place, you know, dilapidated Buck Place. They had a little press trailer. Perkins walks in for his first little set-to with the media. There's Mizell, McEwen, all the heavyweights. Walks in, sees me in the corner. Ira, what the hell are you doing in here? Funny, I was going to ask you the same question, Mr. Perkins. So, and those years weren't much better. He didn't go 2-14, but they weren't.
What was your relationship with him like? I heard he was a prickly guy.
He liked me. Rick Odioso, who used to be the Bucks PR man, he told me after Perkins left, like in 1990 and 91, after he was fired, he goes, Ira, you're one of the few guys that he liked. Now, I don't know if that's a compliment or not, Steve, but Ray's still with us. He's still going strong. He was a great player at Alabama.
Yeah.
He was an All-America wide receiver, and then he was in the NFL. He was catching passes from Johnny Unitas.
I was going to say the Colts, yeah.
Yes, he did.
He was like a Raymond Berry's back, not
he,
backup.
He was a tough guy. He's the guy that famous for the three-a-days in the Tampa Heat. Three-a-days, Steve.
No, you were talking about Dante a little earlier, and we'll get on to other stuff, but I just want to point out here that You're like a squirrel here, Ira. You're munching on pistachios, and you have a pile of shells as if a gray squirrel was.
Well,
was
out of respect for his bits, I don't want to besmirch this beautiful park over here. So I will carry the shells. When
very
we're done,
neat pile
right
there. You
to
have
the garbage.
Very
right
neat pile. Very
well. I imagine the squirrels would love them. So don't worry about it, Ira. Either way, it's good. All right, Kaufman. So look, we've survived the storm.
Meanwhile, you invite me to a party last Saturday. An hour later, you told me it's canceled.
It was canceled, yeah.
You don't entice a man like that. My wife was coming, Italian feast, and next thing I know, you pulled the plug. Will it be rescheduled, Stephen?
The great Ed Morris Alfa Romeo dealership out in Brandon had to cancel their Italian street festival because of the storm, but it will be rescheduled. So that's good news. It was free, open to the public. We were going to meet you. We were going to meet Lee. But, of course, everything was blown out Saturday, and that's the way it is. But
no pun intended.
Don't worry, Ira. You will be there.
And we have a few other things that might be rescheduled, Steve, is the party. There was supposed to be a party at Abe's place.
Yeah, a lot of details. You know, look on JoeBucksFan.com for the updates with all the different changes for the events. Ira's fan retreat got Irma'd out, if you will. So a lot of good stuff to come.
Have you been posting steadily on the website, Stephen, during this historic storm?
Yeah, look, Lee and I, we, you know, people stockpile food, you stockpile Riesling, beet salads on ice. We had a lot of content ready for the storm. And, of course, we're working through until power went out. Lee didn't lose power. I lost power.
I even filed you a column on Sunday before the storm hit.
Ira sends his column on Sunday. That's ready to go Monday morning. Todd Wright had his podcast ready to go. So all good. We were able to keep pounding away. I was able to get some power from a neighbor, you know, to keep my laptop juiced. And it was nice. Neighborhood Walmart, that's not too far from me. They have their generators going.
Oh, wow.
And they have free Wi-Fi in the store. So just park right in front of the store, and there you go.
You didn't even have to go in, Steve.
No, they're not open. They're not open, but wow. The Wi-Fi is going. So we had plenty of stuff. Of course, others didn't, but that's to be expected around this town, Ira, because, you know, not everybody works that hard. But you, the stage, you are grinding away nonstop.
Guys, as we speak Tuesday, mm-hmm. Buck players are flying back into town. Yeah. They're driving back. They're flying back because we were in the locker room last Wednesday, and almost everybody we talked to said, I'm getting out of here. I went up to talk to Quan Alexander. He was hunched over his phone. And, you know, I walked up with a TV guy. Quan, you got a minute? And he's always accommodating. He goes, trying to book a flight, man. So, you know, we backed off. The Kemper would have kept boring in on him. you know, what's your priorities over here, Quan? You going to book a flight? Are you going to talk to him?
Yeah. But no, you can't afford a flight.
Steve, you can only imagine what's going through the mind of Dirk Cutter, Jason Light. The Glazers, and speaking of the Glazers, so let me say this up front. Tremendously classy gesture. $1 million towards the relief for Hurricane Irma in the Bay Area and surrounding communities. You know, as the years go by, guys, we got to acknowledge it. They're getting more and more entrenched in the Tampa Bay community. Besides the Glazer Museum, Brian Glazer opened the place that they had an event a couple of weeks ago, Steve. So, you know, fans used to say that Buck ownership from Culver House onward were not involved. I don't think you can say that anymore.
Darcy, right? Didn't she move here and she's actively involved in the community? Darcy Glazer,
Kasowitz.
There
Kasowitz.
We go.
So a great gesture by the Glazer family.
It was not only was that gracious, didn't they round up as many employees as well as players as they
yes,
could?
Yes, they did.
And
yes.
Flew them up to Charlotte. They had to get four different planes. That wasn't cheap. That wasn't easy.
Yeah, when I talked to the Bucks on, I don't remember, days running together, if it was Friday or Saturday, it was emphasized to me that the four planes that the Glazers pulled together to fly guys out of town to safety in North Carolina, that was open to all staff and their families. It wasn't just like cherry-picking players and whatnot. It was, hey, if you were on staff with the Buccaneers, then
they put this out to you. So the guys that try to sell tickets, right? In the
sure,
office,
right.
Yeah.
If you're, you know, whatever, insert whatever job you want, you had the option to say, yeah, count me in. Whatever. So how many people they exactly flew out, I don't know. Or where,
thought I saw 120 somewhere.
Yeah,
I didn't get a call, but I got no call. There was no phone call to check on.
I thought you said he had no power.
yeah, I mean, the Glazers, they didn't fly you out of town.
Well, that's
what's
what
up?
I'm nobody's saying. Is Nisbet's considered part of the Buck family, Lee?
You could be.
I could be.
Hey, the going got tough, and we learned where we stand, Ira. So we're at home
and
suffering.
By the way, I got a quick note, guys. Mm-hmm. This to me is stupid.
Uh-oh.
I'm filing this under stupid. but I got something from the Pro Football Hall of Fame saying that the official preliminary list, And the word is preliminary. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about 90 names,
okay,
100 names. The preliminary list will be released tonight on a special on NFL Network. This is getting crazy. They used to do these specials when the finalists were named, the
sure,
15. Then they pushed it back to the semifinalists. Now they're talking about 90 names. It's a 60-minute show. You know, Simeon Rice is going to get 10 seconds on this show.
You know why they're doing it, right?
So they're trying to fill time. And,
well,
that's
two things. Obviously, it's content. Number two, if people aren't watching it, they're not going to. And here's an example. I was talking to a NFL Network a couple years ago. I was talking to a producer there. I was at $1. I was telling this producer, I said, I swear to God, if I hear the name Michael Fabiano one more time when I turn on the NFL Network, I'm going to jump in the Gulf of Mexico. And he started telling me, he goes, what do you want to watch? I said, number one, I want my idea of fantasy you don't have on your channel. It costs extra money on DirecTV.
Oh.
I'll just let it be like that. Number two, I said, give me the X's and O's shows. I said, those are, and he's like, dude, he goes, you're a purist. I said, yeah, I'm a purist. And he said, the X's and O's shows get virtually no viewership, and their highest rated shows is the Michael Fabiano tripe. So he was telling me if people watch something, they're going to give them more of it.
Well, the guy I'm tired of looking at on these shows, and he's always on them, is a guy named Mike Silver. Michael Silver.
Oh, yeah.
Used to be at Sports Illustrated, full of himself, typical wine and cheese crowd out there in Northern California. I think he used to cover the Niners or something.
Another.
Yeah, I'm tired of looking at him. But I will assure Buck fans, Steve, without having seen the list, following people will be on the list. John Lynch, Rondé Barber, and Simeon Rice will be on this preliminary list. How could they not be? It's 90 names. Of course they're going to be on there. Then they'll go to 25.
Sure.
And then they'll go to 15.
And then the room.
And then the room.
So what we're really hoping for this year, the only thing that would be sort of special, the first special step would be Simeon Rice getting to that 25.
That's correct.
That's the special step, and then we go from there. We'll see if Rondé makes the finals.
Well, we don't know about Rondé. I mean,
well, he'll make the 25. I'm just saying step one is... all of them getting to 25.
Simeon has never been to 25.
Simeon would be the standout. All right, Calvin, let's bore into the Buccaneers.
Like Irma.
This whole situation of players flying back, we know the reality is, hey, if you were flying out of town as a Buccaneer on a bye week, on a crazy Irma, whatever, you would book your flight to get out Wednesday or night, Thursday morning, as these guys were trying to do, as you mentioned. When would you fly back? Monday night, because you got to be at practice
and
Tuesday.
TIA is closed.
So TIA was closed Monday. So first of all, my question for you is, what are the odds 53 Bucks are there tonight or tomorrow when this team is going to practice? And this is a real distraction. This isn't a Hard Knocks bogus distraction. This stuff is real, real life. I'm sure there'll be at least 10 bucks with some really interesting stories out there that would not be the norm. And what is your take on this whole mess?
Well, guys, on Wednesday, Dirk Koetter will take to the podium, and he'll be barraged by questions about distractions. Steve's right. That's the key word of the week. And he will say at some point, my message to the guys, control what you can control.
Mm-hmm.
And I dare say to you, gentlemen, that sounds good. That's a heck of a sound bite. But in reality, the Bucs are all messed up, man. This is a mess.
Yes.
They couldn't practice much last week. The game was taken away from them. Again, Koetter was thinking about September 10th since April 20th. And so were a lot of these players. And that game was taken away from them. They were chomping at the bit. They had a lousy preseason. They looked disinterested. Laconic. There's your word. Like they didn't care. And frankly, Koetter didn't know how to handle preseason. You know, he doesn't know whether he wants to win and the fans are paying price. But I don't want to get anybody hurt. I think ultimately he did the right thing.
Well,
and they're healthy. But Steve, here they're coming in on a Wednesday. Now, I'll say this. People who say the Bears have an advantage because they play the game, that's crazy. The Bucs have an advantage in this respect. They will see the Bears on paper in a real game. The Bears have no idea what to expect from Koetter's offense, Mike Smith's defense. So I think that's an advantage check mark for the Bucs. But there's not a lot of check marks in the Bucs' corner right now.
Well, I got a couple things there. First is, to your point about preseason, I think Koetter trivialized the whole thing, which reinforced what I've always been saying. Preseason games are a joke. First off, there was a loss. I can't remember what loss it was. The second last game, the third game, whatever.
The Browns.
The Browns.
The Browns.
And he kind of just blew it off at the podium after the game. Like, But he was laughing. And then the next game against the Redskins, 36 players were out. I know the Bucks said 37, but one of those 37 did suit up. 36 players, he's sitting out, healthy scratches. That just demonstrates that you think of the whole thing's a complete joke. Right. So Phil Sims, this is getting my point, Sunday after the Steelers-Browns game, thankfully with NFL Sunday Ticket, I know CBS locally had to bug out of their studios. They had to evacuate. And because of that, they didn't put another game on digital. That game would have been Steelers-Browns. I was watching on NFL Sunday Ticket, which is the greatest thing God invented since the remote control. Anyway, after the game, Phil Sims, who does studio work now for CBS, and he's talking to Cowher. And he tells Cowher, you know, the Steelers really struggled in the first half offensively. And Phil Sims said, Coach, this is a question for you. The Steelers' offense hardly played in the preseason. You can't tell me that isn't why they struggled in the first half. I thought the Bucks immediately, I'm going to write about this later on JoeBucksFan.com. Phil Sims' point about the Steelers' offense struggling, you can say the same thing about the Bucks. When's the last time that the number one offense took a snap? What, 3 weeks ago? Phil Sims' words are going to come true with the Bucks. I fear.
I don't quite know what to expect on Sunday, Steve, but I'll say this, as I indicated in the column the other day. You got to have this one. You got to have this one. I never used the word must win in that column. I never used that phrase.
I put it in the headline, though. Because
I never used it.
That's what you were saying.
Well, no, I'm not going there.
But that's what you were. The whole column was about. We got to win.
But down towards the end, I said it's not. It should not be deemed fatal, an opening day loss.
Well, everybody knows that.
You know, but with the way the schedule is set up, Lee, you know, the Patriots are. You know, they're all ticked off. They're going to take it out on the poor Saints defense this week.
Oh yeah,
in Superdome, the Giants will bounce back. They're a quality team.
And
Minnesota. Looks pretty good.
Will the Giants bounce back?
I think they will if they get straighten out their offensive line.
Well, that's what I heard. That's not fixable from
but,
what I
heard. The Bears are a lousy team, Steve. I don't care if they hung with their opening day opponent.
Falcons?
With the Falcons. That's a lousy team, Steve. They're going to finish 5-11. Now, of course, I said that about your Falcons last year, Steve, and you straightened me out, and it turned out you were right. So, got to go out and get this one, Steve. In fact, it would be nice to smack them around a little bit.
Well, Ira, a couple of things you said there. A couple of things that you threw out there.
Yes.
This team is coming back, but I think you need to bore into the situation here. How does Cutter approach this? How does he approach this with these? You said he goes to the podium, whatever, but in behind closed doors here, how does he go after this? Does he practice differently? Does he come out and maybe go up-tempo early in this game Sunday to force his team to snap out of it? Because when you go up-tempo, everybody's all jacked up a little bit. What are you thinking the game looks like?
I think he's got to practice to the max this week. He's got to practice hard this week. I'm not sure what the rules are about, you know, the pads and how many hours you can have these guys. But, boy, they got to be ready to play some football, these players. Turn them loose. Get out there and get on the details, the penalties. Have the refs out there. Have the noise, whatever you want. But you got to work these guys hard this week.
Now
I think he will.
They have an option. They can go. They could do multiple days in pads. They could do that. It would burn days later in the season, but they could do something like that.
You could worry about a guy getting hurt before the game in that respect. You could, but my bottom line is they got to work this week. They got to be ready for Sunday. And right now, they got to get their minds back to football. Hopefully, all the players were safe during the storm in terms of their homes and things. That's a big burden on their minds when they left town.
One thing that struck me the last time we were in the locker room, which was last Thursday, and the players are looking to bug out. And I think the world of Ali Marpet. And Marpet, he's always friendly with me. And so I was walking by Ali, and Ali's like, "Hey, Lee, what can you tell me about Tallahassee?" Well, you want to know? He was looking to evacuate the Tallahassee. He goes, "Oh, it's an okay town." And we talked a little bit. And I walked away, and I got to thinking, why the hell didn't he ask Jameis? So why don't you ask your quarterback about Tallahassee? He knows more about it than
I do. Maybe he was afraid of the answer. But, Steve, it's going to have a big effect.
Ouch.
Steve, it has to affect this team. I mean, it just does because it's jarring. You know, the last couple of weeks have been jarring. You know, you prepare to go to Hard Rock Stadium. We prepared for our fan retreat, Steve. I was all psyched, had my speech. I knew DeKemper was going to be in the audience. A couple of stick carriers that we know were going
to
be there.
I got you, Ira. So let's go back to the Bears. We talked last podcast that this would be a disadvantage for the Bears.
I think so.
And you brought it up again. And I still agree. I know a lot of people disagreed with that. We thought if it happened, or well, we knew it happened, actually. But now the Bears have lost Kevin White. They don't have any receivers to begin with. Now they lose this guy, so they're down a guy.
That's a steady dose of Jordan Howard, isn't it, Steven?
Well, you know what? The Bears, and we wrote about this. I know you didn't see the Bears game with your power issues and with the other stuff you were watching. Or did you watch the Bears? I don't know if you did or not. I don't think you did.
No, I didn't watch the Bears game because it was all weather coverage. I had no Bears game on TV.
Gotcha. Yeah, it was on the digital tier on alternate channels. Maybe you didn't have. It doesn't matter. The Bears, I'll tell you this.
He brings it up, but it doesn't matter.
I'm watching Dennis Phillips with a telestrator. Well, I'm not watching Mike Glennon.
Doesn't matter what channel it was on now. The point is, Bears came very physical in that game, Ira. It was very impressive. They were crazy physical against the Falcons.
You mean like Calais Campbell impressive? Is that what
like
you
mean? Like Calais Campbell.
We'll get to him.
We'll get to him.
Yeah.
Crazy physical, and they ran the ball no problem. But it was mostly Tariq Cohen, this fourth-round rookie running back, and the Bucs can't get our rookie running back is on the 49ers. We got your Chiefs had Kareem Hunt. We got Dalvin Cook setting a new record in
Leonard Fournette goes nuts.
Leonard Fournette, and think about Leonard Fournette, okay? And remember, I told you, Doug Marrone and the Jaguars, I told you that on this podcast, you're laughing at me for
laughing
weeks.
At you. I picked him on my fantasy team.
Well, there you go.
What kind of laughing?
I put $100 down for Isbitz when I went to Vegas. He was took the Jags and
yes,
over.
He did.
It's the only Vegas bet I met. Anyway, not the point. Leonard Fournette, think about that.
Vegas.
Think about that. I was the Texans. Were you know? Don't you think they were loading
fierce defense?
Fierce Texans. Defense at home. Don't you think they were loading the box against Fournette with Blake Bortles throwing the football and he's just pounding between the tackles? It was throwback football. It was beautiful.
You know,
and the Texans should have been all psyched up with everything that happened.
But we don't have our running back.
With Harvey. And we don't have a running back.
Your point, what you made earlier, distractions. Houston's underwater. We're not underwater. Yeah, guys got displaced. They had to practice like a week or so out of Houston. There's you talk about distractions, what the Bucs are going to go through. Houston went through that about three times as much.
This town needs a game. Mm-hmm. And the you know, besides the Bucs need a game.
You know,
this town needs a game, this area.
What happened with Houston very well could happen with the Bucs. Because, again, how many players, you saw the video of Houston. We're talking about not just slum neighborhoods. We're talking upscale neighborhoods, 10 feet of water. You got to figure some of the players had to be involved in that. They had to practice in Dallas for a week or so.
You're right.
They had a preseason game canceled. Yes, the Bucs have had distractions. Houston's had more. What happened to them? They laid a giant egg.
Steve, the Texans were probably a popular choice in some of those knockout pools where you can't afford one loss. I'm sure a lot of people jumped on the Texans in week one.
You would think.
Against the lowly Jags. And, boy, the Bengals didn't show up either. Some teams didn't show up.
Well, you know, you made a point earlier I'm going to emphasize, and it kind of contradicts what I said about the distractions, but I think it's a very good point about what Houston's going through. Beware Bucks. The advantage the Bucks do have, like you said, but the Bears, Bucks don't have any film out. I'm going back to my Tampa Tribune days here.
I like that.
All right. About, oh my gosh, maybe 10 years ago, maybe. Bobby Bowden used to do these things where he'd go to every county in the spring. It was kind of like a booster club thing. He'd play golf with them. He'd wine and dine with them at night. It was a fundraiser more than anything. Get people pumped up for football. Not too far from here, he was golfing. We're in Palm Harbor right now. Not too far from here, he was golfing with a bunch of boosters. I decided to ambush him for a story with the Tribune.
Of course, you didn't cough up $150 for a spot for a foursome, did you?
No.
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 Okay.
I'm not that. Right. I'm cheap. Anyway.
But you ambushed him.
I ambushed him. You probably dealt with Bowden before. A kinder gentleman doesn't exist. And he's like, yeah, I'll talk to you. He goes, I'm on the 17th hole. I'll come and talk to you. And he came and talked. And that season, they were playing Miami right off the bat. And Miami was, I think that was, who's the safety that played for the Ravens? That was so good.
Ed Reed.
Yeah, Ed Reed was on that team. And I asked Bowden point blank. I said, if you're playing a team like Miami, right away, first game, how can you prepare for them since the first game? He looked at me and point blank said, you can't. There's the Bears. How can they prepare for the Bucs? They can't because there's no film on them.
Going back to our preseason, we did play the Jags and the Browns, and they fared quite well on Sunday. The Browns hung tough with the Steelers.
They did.
Looked like a different football team, and the Jaguars were dominant. 10 sacks. Calais Campbell, the guy you wanted on this team, the guy I wanted on this team, the defensive tackle that would have made a difference, but the Bucs didn't want to pay him $15 million a year, goes out and has 4 sacks, 10 sacks total for the Jaguars.
We didn't even notice Campbell in the preseason game, right, Steve? Didn't even notice him.
Well, this goes to my question is, do you feel encouraged a little bit that the Bucs offense performed very well against the Jaguars and the Browns, moved the football? They didn't score touchdowns, but they moved the ball very well. Does that mean anything?
No, it doesn't, but you're reaching.
No, I'm asking you. I'm not reaching.
This is your post-Hurricane Irma reach. I'm going to speak for DeKemper here, which is dangerous. When it comes to the preseason, you got to be very careful about reading anything, Lee. Anything,
absolutely.
Anything. Leonard Fournette did nothing in the preseason.
He didn't play.
He played one game.
He played well against the Patriots and sat down.
No, I'm not going to read anything into it. But you're right. The Browns were very respectable, and the Jags were outstanding. No question about it.
All right, so Ira, let me move you back to this Bears team. Again, very physical. They ran the ball well.
They got Akeem Spence on that team?
No, that's Akeem Spence is on the Lions.
Right? I saw a highlight, and Akeem Spence made a big play.
What do you get, a cup of water?
A big run stop.
What do you get, a cup of water? A run stop.
For the Lions?
He looked like Swaggy Baker on that.
A run stop where? Get off the field after the game?
I'm telling you, it was enough that they mentioned him on the highlight pack.
And I love Akeem Spence, but he did nothing with the Bucs, man.
I thought he was a good football player. I mean, fourth-round pick, I thought he played very well as a fourth-rounder. You know, stayed healthy, and when he did get hurt, he was right back and
gave you good effort against the run.
Yeah, it was good effort. Good
effort. Nice guy, you know, but as Jason Light would say, he's a Jag.
Yeah,
guy.
Good backup.
So what's all this physicality that you're overwhelmed
with? Okay, so this is what I'm asking you. Physical team, they come in, and Glennon, he's checking down left and right, checking down all over the place, checking down every possible way, and probably played as best as he could, but they couldn't get it done. Is there any way, that's what I'm asking you is, any way possible that a loss here to you is excusable in any way? Now, I know you wrote that column, and you won't say it's a must-win. You're backtracking.
I'm not responsible for your headlines, Zizbit.
Is this a must? Is this?
You're the same guy that said Kaufman all in on McCoy trade, and you set off a firestorm.
That was right, LeSean McCoy.
You're questioning his copy editing skills, are you?
LeSean McCoy, that was. Seriously.
I've already written a previous column that said no excuses.
Well, now that Irma's a reality, though, and that was before Irma, can you tolerate a loss here if the team
is
a little flat?
I can't believe he's even bringing this up.
Tolerate. I like that word. Tolerate. Can
so
you tolerate
intolerable under any condition a loss to the Bears. Is that what you're saying? I'm just trying to extract your exact feelings.
Don't lose this game. Lee.
All right.
Don't lose this game.
Intolerable. You got to see a shrink afterwards. It's intolerable.
And Steve, you haven't even brought up the thrust of that column, which was not must win, but how about establishing yourself at home? And I had the numbers to back it up, and I think I stunned you with a couple
of them. Those were some great numbers. Lee, if you didn't see it, for those listening who didn't read Ira's column, shame on you. You're filthy people.
They've gone 8 straight years without a winning record at home.
Yep.
8 straight.
But what really struck me, Ira, is you pulled the numbers of the NFC South teams at home, and all three of them, outside of the Bucs, have extraordinary records at home.
Probably because they're playing the Bucs.
And the Browns in the last 5 years have more home wins than
the
Bucs.
I'm just saying,
the Browns.
What stood out for me was the other NFC South team records. It was just like, holy cow.
And the Bucs, I think, 13-27, something like
the
that.
The Bucs have, since Gruden got fired, the Bucs have the worst home record in the NFL. Period, and sense.
Yeah, Cutter dwells on it, and as he should.
Yeah, well, look, they won 4 in a row at home. Got to go to 5 in a row here. And then you head off to Minnesota now. Do you, Ira, with your sage wisdom, after what you watched, I know you watched every minute of the Chiefs and Patriots, your beloved Chiefs, on Thursday night.
I couldn't believe my eyes. 500 yards of offense for the Chiefs.
At New England, too.
At New England.
Is it now fair to put, for the Bucs, for the fans who like to look at the schedule and obsess about the schedule, is it fair to put New England now in the win column for the Bucs?
Another post-Irma reach by Izbitz.
I'm asking
no,
you.
No, that was pre-Irma. He wrote that pre-Irma.
Pre-Irma.
No, it is still the Patriots. I mean, they stumble. Once in a while, they stumble. Nobody saw that one coming. I understand. Chiefs are a quality opponent.
Well, now that you saw the game, though, you watched the game. I don't care about
it. And Belichick will make the proper adjustments, Mr. DeKemper. You're talking about a Hall of Fame coach, maybe the greatest of the modern era. You know, some people like Bill Walsh, some people like Joe Gibbs, Parcells, or whatever, Landry, Shula. Well, you know, take your pick.
What about the...
Who are you talking about?
Guy in Wisconsin? From your beloved New York area?
I said Brooklyn? Modern, maybe more since 1970.
Super Bowl era.
Yeah. Well,
post-70.
Yeah.
The merger.
With all due respect to Chris Mad Dog Russo, I got to throw in Vince Lombardi in there.
All right, I got my pen out.
Uh-oh, that's always dangerous.
I want to know if you're willing to make a wager with me right here, right now. $20. I'm going to write it
down. The Bucks will be favored against the Patriots?
No. I'm going to wait. Will you give me a touchdown? Give me a touch. Give me 7 points, and let me take the Saints on Sunday against the Patriots. Oh. New England going to New Orleans.
The last time you, what's the last time you surprised
me? The Super
me
Bowl. I lost the Super Bowl.
The last time he surprised me in the middle of a podcast was when he asked, would I trade for LeSean McCoy? And I said I'd do it yesterday. And I think I'm looking pretty good on that one so far. So you want the Saints plus 7.
Against the Patriots, who you think are going to bounce back against the worst defense
and,
ever.
And what's at stake, Mr. Isbell?
$20.
Ooh.
Saints plus 7.
I get the Saints plus 7. You have New England minus 7.
$20.
All right.
Write it down.
It's in the books. Here it is.
Defense did not look
Javier,
good.
I want you to keep a monitor on this one.
You're asking about the Saints. Can you put in a win comp? One game.
Patriots. Oh, the Patriots.
Sorry. Well, the Saints, too. But one game that was in dispute whether you could put it in a win column or not, and I think right now you probably could. I mean, there's always week one overreaction, but the Cardinals seem to be in disarray. I mean, they didn't look that good, and then they had a bunch of injuries. That great running back of theirs is going to be out.
Yeah, they lost months. David Johnson. Yep.
Yeah, he was the first pick in the fantasy draft, Steve. David Johnson.
Really?
Yeah.
So they're looking real vulnerable
right
now.
And I think
Palmer's looking old.
I think Palmer's, you know, I think he's almost had it, Steve. And I think they got to move on after this year from Carson Palmer. They have to. I don't know if they're going to draft a young quarterback or get one, but they got to move on from Palmer. That's about it for him.
Ira, are we going to see the Bucs on Sunday become a pass-first football team?
Well, after you're talking about all this physicality from the Chicago Bears, I'm not sure that Charles Sims is going to be able to run up the middle for 120 yards over there, Steven. Look, with all the weapons around Winston, I think Cutter's going to be tempted, you know, to say that they're going to have a 50-50 pass run. Almost no team in the league has that besides Dallas. Very, very few teams. Dallas, I think, ran the ball more than they threw the ball last year. There weren't many. Maybe Buffalo.
Because they have arguably the best running back in the
league. And maybe Buffalo because they got Tyrod Taylor and they got LeSean McCoy. What are you going to do? So, look, I don't think Winston's going to throw 48 times like he did a lot last September, which got the Bucs in a lot of trouble. And I think Cutter realized that and said, hey, we got to have a little more balance. Next thing you knew, in week 5, they gave the ball 30 times to Jacquizz Rodgers. And it was a direct reflection that Winston was throwing the ball too much and it wasn't working. So there's going to be balance, but yes, they're gonna throw it more than they run it.
I'm late. You know, last 3 or 4 days, and again, I try not to be, you know, overreact to week one because we're all prone to do that. But I'm starting to get – I think this offense is going to be terribly one-dimensional. We saw what happened last year when it was – and, well, they didn't address the running back. Yeah, they went out and they drafted playbook Snoop Dogg. And look what he did.
I think the Buck defense is going to have a big day, Steve. I think the Buck defense is going to have a huge day.
I'm starting to worry about the offense being too one-dimensional. I really am. Given what Winston, I did some digging the other night. You could tell I was bored if I was going through stats. And 8-4 when Winston threw 35 times or less. 8-4.
There you go.
So Martin, whatever.
So that means 1-3 when he doesn't.
Yes. I know there's a lot of people that, you know, Doug Martin's a teddy bear and they want to hug him. Whether you like him or not, he's not going to be available for 3 games, period, end of sentence. He's not going to be available. So you're looking at Jacquizz Rodgers, who couldn't make this awful Bears. I don't care what anybody says. He got cut by them. If he was any – what does Dirk Cutter say? You can't have enough good players? Well, if he's any good, why'd they keep him? So he was on the street for a reason. Then you're looking at Charles Sims, who is a glorified wide receiver. And I'm scared, man. I really am. I'm scared.
I want to see production out of the Bucs running game, Steve. I want to see it because it's been a problem since 2015 when it was very good, led by Doug Martin, and Sims did his part, certainly. Last year – few and far between good days for the running game. Just not very good, Steve. And I'm going to be watching that. And on defense, I'm going to be watching your boy Swaggy Baker. can he find a tree to hug? Or can he wrap up Jordan Howard and give him a little squeeze? That's what I'm going to be looking for.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I'm just not worried about the running game early.
See Mike Glennon dissecting this pass defense?
I mean, there's no depth in the running game. So that's something to worry about. But if the guys can manage to stay healthy, I think it'll be all right. Because to me, they have to pass first. To me, Dirk Cutter's a moron if he doesn't just use these weapons. Why did you get them? Why did you draft a quarterback number one? Not to hand off to Peyton Barber. That's not why you do that.
Are you worried about Glennon shredding Brent Grimes?
Am I worried about Glennon shredding the Bucks? Deep, no. In fact, here's what I think happened in that game. Glennon showed and the Bears showed that they're not throwing the ball deep under any circumstances. But the Falcons didn't know that till they actually played the Bears. And then slowly the Falcons defense was tightening up because there was literally no threat. Yeah, I think we're going to see Glennon checking down. And this Tariq Cohen, who's so electric fast, this rookie, and considering how amazingly fast the Falcons defense is, because that they're all about speed, he looked quick against those guys. Can Quan Alexander and these guys stay with him, which I think they will be. I think it should be a good day for the defense, because to me this whole game, and Lee, I'm curious what Lee thinks, but this whole game is about, in a big way, can Mike Smith's defense keep what they did the second half of last season? Can they just take another step? And that would mean holding the Bears to 13 points.
Isn't it, Lee, as we sit here, and we don't know, you know, what's going to happen the rest of the week, I think it's very realistic to suggest that the Bucks will have all 22 starters ready to go. That's very unusual. It's very unusual.
They should, but what we were talking about earlier, are they going to be in town?
Well, I mean for the game.
Okay.
I mean for the game. If you know,
it appears everybody's healthy. Yeah, I mean,
if nobody gets hurt in practice, you know, with that extra week, I expect everybody back.
They should be sharp, flying around, rested as you could be.
But I think you got to work them hard this week, Lee. You got to work them hard.
Yeah, like I said, you know, I'll repeat what Phil Simms said about the Steelers. He goes, you can't tell me they're not playing offense hardly at all in preseason. Didn't affect them in the first half.
They got to hit the practice field very enthusiastically. Wouldn't you think, Steve?
So you think they open up with gassers and Roy Cummings will be drilling Dirk Cutter about that? You think that's what happened?
Roy, you're right. You're making a lot of statements, Roy. How about asking a question? That's one of the lines of training camp.
Ira, instant reaction. Connor Barth hits a 54-yard field goal Sunday, and Matt Bryant kicks a 48-yarder. Your reaction?
I got faith in Nick Folk. I think he'll be fine. And I think Cutter has faith in Nick Folk, most importantly. I don't think Cutter's worried about him. But Matt Bryant, you know, I got to tip my hat to Matt Bryant. It's been a long time since he's been a Buck. Yeah, he hasn't missed a beat. He might be better now than when he was a Buck.
Didn't his wife have a shot at Dominic a couple weeks ago on Twitter?
I believe she did.
Yeah, something about we never wanted to leave Tampa?
I believe she did. So the rock star is not impervious to a little criticism over there, Stephen.
All right, well, Thursday's podcast, Ira, of course, we will get a little deeper into the game.
We're going to do it from one buck,
from
right,
one
Steve?
Buck, after we get a sense of what's going on there tomorrow when we're out there pressing the flesh and sniffing
we'll
around.
We'll know the practice schedule. Yeah.
We'll get a good feel. It's interesting, the game is not sold out. I am sure some fans are waiting on the sidelines with the weather, but still not sold out. Opening day in Tampa with all this drama and a team from Chicago coming in.
You saw how quickly the Bucks wanted to get word out that the game was going to be played at Ray J. That's their way of saying, buy some tickets, people.
Now, question for you, sage wisdom, Ira. Do you think that the Bucks should have, or did they, either one, should they have tried to push the league to play this game Monday night to give them extra time to prepare and screw up the Bears at the same time?
Extra time to prepare?
Well, if the guys aren't coming in till tomorrow, I'm just asking you.
No, not going to happen. Not going to happen. Everything's going to be fine. And when we talk next week on a Buck podcast, we'll be talking about the 1-0 Bucks heading into Minneapolis.
Your thoughts real quick on your friend Stephen Ross trying to bail out of the London game and what the NFL said?
Nothing surprises me with Ross. Nothing. My information.
There we go.
Was vis-a-vis the Buck Dolphins game, is that when the league was talking about what to do and the proper course, the people with the most say-so influence were the Dolphins as the home team.
Is that right?
They get the home field advantage, so to speak, in these negotiations about what to do. And when it came time to go to the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, or New Orleans, or Pittsburgh, or Philly, Stephen Ross, my information is he didn't want to give up another home game. He's already going to London. He did sink $400-500 million into the renovations at Hard Rock. You got to give him that. Paid for most of it with his own money. I don't like Stephen Ross. I think he's a buffoon. I think I saw him at the at the U.S. Open. I think he was in the crowd over there.
Oh, was he?
Probably sitting next to Tiger Woods. What a pair that is.
Did you throw a strawberry shortcake at him or something?
But
he went to the U.S. Open?
I believe he was there.
Went to the U.S. Open?
No, no. I was watching on television. Okay. No, come on. I was there with Dante having a beat salad. No, Steve, there was no chance of this game shifting to Monday night. The Bucs season will start on Sunday, and I believe it will get off to a flying start, Mr. DeKemper.
Bucs fans love to hear stories from you. Off the top of your head, anything spring to mind about a season-opening game with the Bucs? Or even a game against the Bears?
Well, a season-opening game with the Bucs. Yes.
What, Tennessee ready?
No, no, no. 97, Dungy's second season. And they finished strong in 96 after a terrible start. And they finished 6-10. That was Dungy's only losing season, his first year in Tampa. Only losing season. And I stressed that, you know, when I made the Hall of Fame pitch. And even in that year, they got a lot better in the second half of the season. You could see them coming on. Anyway, first week, here come the 49ers to Tampa. 49ers were very good. They were not 1985 and 1989 good because Montana wasn't there. But they had Steve Young. They had Jerry Rice. And they had a lot of talent. So they come to town, and they're favored against the Bucs, of course. And the Bucs put a whooping on them. That was a game that Young ended up getting hurt. Jerry Rice ended up getting hurt. Sapp was a monster. Defense was fantastic. And the Bucs win the game. That showed they arrived. The Bucs announced that they had arrived, led by Sapp, Brooks, you know, Barber and company.
Rice, Lynch.
Rice wasn't there yet. Yeah, Lynch.
Barber started the game?
97. He didn't start.
Okay.
No, he didn't start. But that was the beginning. So that was a very memorable game. Because that's the game that the Bucs became a formidable player in the NFL under Dungy. And it continued for the next six years.
All right, Ira, final question. Lovie Smith's Illini come to
Lovie Smith?
They come to town to face USF this weekend. What's your over-under on the amount of Bucs players who head out to Raymond James to say hi to Lovie and hug their old coach?
1-2. One or two players.
James
one
being one.
You
one
think Jameis is one of them?
No, no. Jameis got to pick up some of the branches that fell down outside his mansion.
Really? So you don't think Jameis? From my understanding, I mean, he's a special place in his heart.
I don't think Jameis has anything against Lovie Smith. I don't.
Yeah, we're just seeking your sage wisdom. All right, Kaufman. Thank you for coming out from your hot haven there. And
by the way, isn't Lovie Smith 2-0? Not very impressive.
Undefeated,
but I
Lovie
believe
Smith
2-0.
Undefeated.
Yeah, look who he beat. Yeah.
Simple as that. Man's on a roll.
Real quick about Lovie.
Tough duty. Tough duty.
Here's what. Now, this is a legitimate question about journalism and Lovie Smith. To the best of my knowledge, Lovie Smith is the first Bucs coach in a long time that was fired and never made any public comments. Never. Gruden talked to you after he got fired.
Schiano had a post conference.
Schiano had a press conference he held at a hotel. Is Lovie going to get hit with questions about the Bucs in his post game remarks at USF, because he's never spoken about the Bucs publicly, to my knowledge. Certainly he's never stood up before reporters and talked about it.
I think that's a fair question. I don't think he'll answer more than one or two, and I think he'll duck them. Because, remember, guys, I went to Canton, not this year, but last year, for Dungy's induction, and that was about 7 months after Lovie had been fired, and it was before Cutter's season started, and I sidled up to him because he was in the crowd for Dungy.
Ara.
And first he was shocked to see me. He didn't expect it. He thought he was going to have a nice, you know, day of, you know, celebrating Tony Dungy. And he sees me and, you know, he said hello. And I said, you know, Lovie, you didn't speak after the decision. Is there anything you want to say? I'm looking straight ahead. I'm looking straight ahead, Ira. I'm not looking back. He's not going to get into it, so I don't care if the Fighting Illini win or lose, and I think they're going to lose. What is it, Saturday?
Yeah.
He's going to get asked a question because, you know, Jenna Lane could be there or somebody could be there.
Almond.
And they will ask, as they should, and he's not going to answer. He's going to deflect and say, I'm at Illinois now. I'm all about Illinois.
I think that says a lot about Lovie, and not in a good way. Like I said, Schiano held a press conference.
Well, In his mind, he's taking the high road.
Well, just, you know, be at least halfway decent human being. And, you know, the guy's never spoken publicly. Like I said, Schiano has.
Gruden did not have a public comment.
But he speaks about it. He spoke to you about it.
He did, but I had to get him in a bar with Chris Harry. But then he spoke to us at length.
Well, he spoke, yeah.
But yeah, I read that in the paper, yeah.
Yeah, but here you had the very circumstance you're talking about with Lovey. He wouldn't talk.
Yeah.
I mean, be a man and fess. Just say, hey, you know.
I'm going to have to defend Lovey here. And I'll tell you why. Because, first of all, you know how this is, Ira. You've seen firsthand, we all have, how the Tampa Bay media has changed and fallen apart in many ways, the traditional media. And if Lovey was fired 20 years ago, when Lovey Smith walked into the University of Illinois and had his opening welcome press conference and he had like a one-hour news conference, Tampa Bay Times and the Trib would have been there. And local TV would have been out there saying, Lovey, blah, 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 blah. So they weren't there. So Lovey stood in front there and was taking any possible question. And he was needled by Bears media about getting fired from Tampa and NFL and stuff. He was at that news conference. But Tampa Bay media did not show up. And that speaks to me, not that Lovey wasn't willing to talk. Nobody showed up to ask him a question, whatever, 2-3 weeks after he was fired.
So you're saying the opportunity was there and they passed on
they
the opportunity.
They passed on it just like
so it's not Lovey's fault.
It's just like the Tampa Bay Times guys whining that Jameis wasn't available when Joe Bucks fan went to talk to Jameis after his first season at the Pro Bowl. So
yeah, we cut the check.
He was there. We paid to go out there to see him. So to me, you know, but like you said, Ira, he's ducked these questions. The ones he's been hit with about NFL or the Bucks or whatever.
I've moved on, you know.
I got to give Lovey, especially now, so much later, you know, I got to defend him a little bit because nobody hammered him.
You know, it's a fair point. The opportunity was there to fly people up to Champaign. They passed on it. Opportunity lost. Too bad.
All right. We'll have a lot of more information for our listeners on the next podcast.
Yeah, we're back. Ira is going to get a shower. Have you gotten a shower, Ira, since this ordeal?
Personal.
You look fresh.
Too personal.
When the lights went out? I won't get too
personal. Wait, where are you going?
You took the words wrong. I'm not getting too personal, but, you know, what did you? I was prepared. I had food ready to go for 3 days. I had alcohol. I mean, I was outside of boarding my windows, which I didn't do.
A lot of babies were conceived 9 months after the New York blackout. I'm going to leave this podcast on that note.
Oh, that you had food ready to go. You gorged.
I've spoken my piece, Steve.
Okay.
Yeah, get out of here, Ira.